The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Good afternoon, Ilanit. How are you?
Good afternoon. Good, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. So Ilanit is a reporter and she's breaking news editor for the Jerusalem Post. Let's talk about Madonna defying BDS pressure. What did they do?
Okay, so Madonna basically came out and commented for the first time about her performance at Eurovision on Saturday night. People weren't 100% sure if she was really coming. It was all up in the air up until today. And she made it very clear that she's not going to be bowing to BDS pressure. And she said that she's not going to stop playing music to suit someone else's political agenda, which is a very strong statement to come out with. At the same time, she did basically say that she's not going to stop speaking out against human rights and violations of human rights wherever in the world. So it's very interesting. It's very interesting that she came out with this, and she said that she's hoping and praying that there will be, you know, some sort of peace agreements in the near future. And she was very very positive about it. And it's kind of like the antithesis of what Roger Waters is doing. He may support the Palestinians, etc., but he's got a full on boycott going on. Whereas she is, even though she supports the Palestinians, she's also willing to come and perform in Israel, and she even has a few interests in Israel, well, actually in Gaza, and she's got a foundation called the Ray of Life Foundation, which supports women's empowerment, and this also includes in the Palestinian territories and even in Gaza, and it gives money to UNRWA and to salaries of teachers in the Gaza Strip. So it's very interesting that she's got a very big, very, very nice balance of seeing both sides of the situation and not allowing BDS to stop her from actually coming to Israel to perform.
Doesn't she have a home there?
That I actually don't know. She probably does. Who knows? I need to actually check into that one.
There you go. There's your next story.
There you go. There you go. But that's fantastic that she's not willing to give in to the BDS pressure. Whereas we've had in the past people like Lord and other really big musicians who have given into who have given in and said, nope, we're not coming to play because BDS pressure. And it's very nice. It's very good to see that she's still willing to take part and to join in.
Yeah, fantastic. What are you going to be doing on Saturday night? Where are you watching Eurovision?
I'm going to be watching with a few friends, probably at my place.
Yes.
I've got access to it on my TV, so I've invited a few friends, and we're all going to hang out and watch Eurovision. I mean, Shabbos comes out quite late, so and I think it's starting when Shabbos actually hasn't come out yet. So we'll probably catch the last bit of it. I think it's like probably like 15 or 20 minutes until before Shabbos comes out that's starting. So, and I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. I've got friends who are going to the semi-final shows tonight and on Thursday night. So it's pretty cool. There's a lot going on and there's a lot of fun. There's the village, in Tel Aviv at the Tel Aviv Expo Center, and they're having performances there all the time and lots of entertainment and food and lots of fun. So it's really cool. There's a great vibe going on, and everyone in Jerusalem's excited as well, because even if they're not getting to the show on Saturday night, we're still all having watch parties and having people over. And it's very different also for me because I'm from South Africa. So I'm not used to, you know, we're used to like seeing idols and all that kind of stuff, you know, and X Factor and that kind of stuff. So it's interesting to be taking part in the whole Eurovision situation and parties and stuff.
Yeah. I've been following Eurovision for about the past 5 years, and it is the highlight of my year. But you have to have Twitter open, Ilanit. I know that you're on Twitter, but you know, you've got hundreds of thousands of people all commenting. I mean, most of them completely inebriated, commenting on the outfits, on the songs, comparing them. And within minutes, they come up with these memes. It's just absolutely fantastic. It's the best night's entertainment. I'm trying to organize a watch party, with somebody who owns a hotel nearby, because lots of people saying, where can we get it? So, you know what? Let's all get together and we'll have some fun. Can we just talk about what is happening with these Saudi ships that were sabotaged? Just give us the backstory.
Sure.
And
okay, so the backstory goes like this. Basically, a few, like literally over the weekend, the United States sent a whole bunch of its own bombers and all that kind of stuff into the Persian Gulf. At the same time, the Saudis had 4 tankers sitting there. They were oil tankers. And basically, somehow, some way, they were sabotaged. there, it looks like some sort of explosion happened, but you can't really see if, you know, there was pictures that were pretty up close. You can't really see any burn marks or anything. One of my colleagues, Seth Fransman, actually pointed that out, but there is damage. There is a substantial amount of damage on each of the ships. And, of course, Iran's blaming Israel and saying that it was, Israeli mischief that caused this. Whereas the United States are actually blaming, Iran for this, or Iran proxies for this.
Yes, I see that.
So that's going to be very interesting to see. And also in the background of all of this, just as I reiterated, they've sent, the United States have sent in all these, a bunch of ships and, some, bombers and et cetera, to put pressure on Iran not to restart its nuclear program, and to show its might. So it's going to be interesting to see where this actually goes, because there's now talk of 120,000, troops going there if things escalate. And then you've got, the U.S. ambassador to Saudi Arabia saying that, there needs to be some sort of repercussion if Iran is involved in what happened to the Saudi ships. And just remember, Saudi Arabia is a proxy. Well, it's not a proxy, but it's got very close ties with the United States. So in a way it is, regarding oil and et cetera. So they've got very good ties. So, you know, if Iran started attacking Saudi Arabian interests, if they start attacking Israeli interests, America will see that as an attack on them. So there is a lot of action going on. We're waiting to see with bated breath what's going to happen. Also at the same time, a bit earlier today, two main oil pumping stations were hit by, in Saudi Arabia, were hit by Iranian-backed Houthi rebels. So that's also a very big thing. There hasn't been a response just yet from the States. But the Saudis are taking it very seriously. They've called this a terrorist attack. And the Houthis are Iranian backed. So it's all kind of coming to a head. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next few days. We're hoping it's not going to boil too much over the surface, but it's pretty serious. It's not a pretty situation. And, hopefully, you know, we had Minister Steinitz, who's very close to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, say yesterday that he's concerned that if there is an escalation between the United States and Iran, there is going to be an escalation, and it's going to affect Israel. Iran are going to actually attack Israel. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the next few days.
Very interesting. Ilana Chernik, that is unfortunately where we leave it today, but to look forward to speaking to you tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow we'll actually be able to, you know, the story would have developed a little bit, talking about Australia's Labour Party, who are leading in the country's election poll, also about Scott Morrison and his decision to recognise West Jerusalem as Israel's capital if they win elections. So, let's carry that over until tomorrow. Thank you so much, and I wish you a good evening.
You too. Take care.
Thank you, Leonard.